Okay, so get this. Remember CRISPR? That gene editing thing that seemed like it was straight out of science fiction?
Yeah?
Well, it's not science fiction anymore.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
I mean, the FDA just approved not one, but two new gene therapies for sickle cell disease.
It's a huge moment.
They're called Cas9VTM and LIF-GENIE-ETIADAM, and those are some names, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But first, what is sickle cell disease and why is this such a big deal?
Well, sickle cell disease is a genetic blood disorder.
Okay.
It affects about 100,000 people in the U.S.,
Oh, wow.
mostly African Americans,
Yeah.
and it causes all sorts of problems like severe pain, organ damage, and a much shorter lifespan.
Right.
And the treatments we have now, they're not cures.
Oh, I see.
They just help manage the symptoms.
So these new therapies are offering hope where there wasn't much before.
Exactly, and that's what makes this so groundbreaking.
Okay. I remember you explaining CRISPR to me before, and it was sort of like using tiny molecular scissors. But can you kind of break that down for everyone listening?
Sure. So CRISPR allows scientists to go into a DNA strand and target a very specific gene.
Oh, wow.
They can edit it, cut it, paste it, even swap out sections of DNA.
Huh.
And this is far more targetable and versatile than anything we've had before.
So how long has CRISPR been around?
We first discovered it in 2012.
Wow.
And it's amazing to see how fast it's progressed.
So Cas9YTM is the first ever approved CRISPR therapy.
Yes.
What's so special about it?
Cas9YTM actually gets to the root of sickle cell. It takes the abnormal hemoglobin in a patient's blood stem cells and converts it into fetal hemoglobin.
Fetal hemoglobin.
Yeah, that's the hemoglobin babies have before they're born. And it's much better at carrying oxygen.
Oh, so it's like reactivating something that already happens naturally.
Exactly.
Interesting.
It targets a transcription factor called BCL11A.
Okay.
And that factor usually turns off the production of fetal hemoglobin after birth. So the therapy turns off that off switch.
Okay, so they change the blood stem cells, but how do they get those back into the patient's body?
Before that, the patient has to undergo something called myeloablative conditioning.
Sounds intense.
It's a type of chemotherapy that preps the bone marrow.
Okay.
It makes space for the new cells to take hold.
So it's like getting the soil ready before you plant a seed.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. And the results are pretty amazing.
Oh.
Over 93% of patients in the trial had no severe pain crises for at least a year after the treatment.
That's a pretty good result.
It is.
But are there any side effects?
Well, like with any medical procedure, there are potential side effects.
Sure.
The most common ones were low platelet count, mouth sores, nausea.
Okay.
Some patients also reported muscle pain, headaches, itching, things like that.
But of course, you have to weigh that against the potential benefits,
Exactly.
living a life free from sickle cell.
Right.
Now, we also have LIF-GENIE-ETIADAM,
Yes.
and that's the other approved therapy, and it works a bit differently, right?
That's correct. It doesn't use CRISPR.
Oh, okay.
It uses what we call a lentiviral vector to change the blood stem cells.
Okay.
And this vector delivers a gene that produces a modified version of normal adult hemoglobin.
So instead of reactivating the fetal hemoglobin, it's introducing this new type of hemoglobin.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's also been shown to be quite effective in reducing sickling and improving blood flow.
So are there any drawbacks to this one?
Yes, there is a risk of developing blood cancer.
Oh, wow.
It's serious enough that the FDA has issued a black box warning.
That's their most serious warning, right?
Yes.
Wow.
And patients who receive this treatment will have to be monitored for the rest of their lives.
So that's a tough choice for patients then,
Yeah.
having a potential cure, but with a risk of cancer, right?
Right.
Or managing the symptoms as they are now.
It really highlights the complexity of these new treatments.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's a decision each patient has to make with their doctor,
Right.
weighing the potential benefits and risks carefully.
And there's one more thing we can't ignore.
Uh-huh.
The cost.
Yes, that's a big one.
LIF-GENIE-ETIADAM is $3.1 million per patient.
And Cas9YTM is $2.2 million.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder who can actually afford these treatments.
You're right. There are a few reasons these therapies are so expensive. The manufacturing process is incredibly complex.
Okay.
The patient pool is relatively small, and the research and development costs were massive.
So even though they're effective, they're just not accessible.
That's the big hurdle, and we have to find a way to make them accessible.
Are there any ideas out there?
There are a few. Some are considering medical mortgages so patients can pay over time.
Okay.
There's talk about risk-sharing payment models.
Okay.
Where manufacturers give rebates if the therapy doesn't work as expected.
Interesting.
And then there's always the possibility of government initiatives to negotiate lower prices.
It's great to hear people are trying to find solutions.
Absolutely, and it's crucial.
Approving these therapies is amazing, but the next step is ensuring everyone can access them.
That's the challenge ahead.
So we've covered a lot, the science behind CRISPR, how these new gene therapies work, and the challenges of cost and access.
Right.
But I think there's a bigger question lurking out there. So we've been talking about sickle cell, but this makes me think, what other diseases could CRISPR potentially cure? Like, are we talking cystic fibrosis, Huntington's? What about cancer?
You're on the right track. CRISPR's potential goes way beyond these two therapies. Scientists are looking at it for all sorts of things.
Oh, wow.
Genetic disorders, like you mentioned, but also complex diseases like cancer and HIV.
So the possibilities really are endless.
It's pretty incredible. And it's not just about curing existing diseases.
Oh.
CRISPR could also be used to prevent them.
Prevent them? How?
By correcting a genetic mutation before it can cause any harm.
So we could, like, wipe out certain inherited diseases altogether?
That's the kind of future we're talking about.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty mind-blowing. But I have to imagine a technology this powerful comes with some ethical questions, right?
Of course. I mean, we're talking about altering the very building blocks of life. That's not something to be taken lightly.
No.
As a society, we need to answer some tough questions.
Yeah.
What are the unintended consequences?
Right.
Could this lead to designer babies?
I mean, that's a whole other conversation.
It is. And who gets access to this technology? And how do we ensure it's used responsibly?
That's a good point. I mean, it seems like we have to be careful, but we also can't let fear stop progress, right?
Exactly. We need to balance innovation with safeguards.
Okay, so where do we go from here? What's the next step for CRISPR?
The field is moving so quickly. I expect we'll see a lot more CRISPR therapies going to clinical trials, like, in the next few years.
So we're at the beginning of something big.
I think it's safe to say that.
So we're entering this new era in medicine where we can actually rewrite the genetic code, cure diseases that were once incurable.
It's exciting, but it also comes with a lot of responsibility.
Right. And we can't forget about making sure these therapies are available to everyone who needs them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We haven't achieved anything if only a select few can benefit.
It's been really eye-opening talking to you today. It's clear CRISPR has the power to change everything.
It does, but we need to be smart about how we use it.
Okay, before we wrap up, I want to leave you with something to think about. We've talked about all the amazing things CRISPR could do.
Yeah.
But there's still this question of cost.
Right.
And who can actually afford these treatments.
It's a huge challenge.
Like millions of dollars for a single treatment.
It's not sustainable.
No, not at all.
We need to find a way to make this work for everyone.
So how do we bridge that gap?
It's going to take a lot of effort.
Yeah.
We need to look at everything.
Okay.
Government subsidies, new insurance models, maybe even philanthropy.
Right.
And we have to keep pushing research to bring down the manufacturing costs.
The big undertaking.
It is.
But I have to believe we can find a way.
I agree.
It's like putting a man on the moon, right?
Yeah.
It took a ton of resources, a lot of willpower. But we did it.
And we can do this too.
We can't let these breakthroughs become just another example of healthcare disparity.
Absolutely not.
Everyone should have access to these advancements.
I completely agree.
So to everyone listening, I hope this deep dive has given you some things to think about.
It's been a great discussion.
We've explored the science behind CRISPR, the potential, and the challenges ahead.
It's important to stay informed
and
be part of the conversation.
The future of medicine is being shaped right now.
And we all have a role to play.
We can't just sit back and wait.
Right.
We need to be active in shaping the future we want.
Absolutely.
Who knows? Maybe one day we'll be doing a deep dive on a CRISPR cure for the common cold.
Now that would be something.
Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of CRISPR.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been an amazing exploration, and we hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have.